definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Good Monday morning to you and yours. This is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff McGuire in for Jeff Haxton today, who is traveling with Jamie Lint as they are on their way to Fayetteville, Arkansas, for the Red Raiders versus Arkansas baseball two-game series starting tomorrow over on Double T 97.3. This coming after a 2-1 series loss to the TCU Horned Frogs over the weekend in Fort Worth. We will dive into that as the day progresses. Also, have a Masters second place finish to get into. And lots of other things going on. Sitting alongside David Collier, as always, and Lucas White across the way. Slide and slides, pushing buttons for us on a Music Monday, so we'll be interested to see how that falls for the three of us. I will say this, guys. My songs have no meaning whatsoever.
Welcome
Don't try
to
read into them. Huh?
Welcome to the club. Actually, I guess one of them, mine, has meaning this week.
It was a situation for the songs that I picked all weekend. I was like, so, you know, kind of trying to have a theme for what the two songs would be. And does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? Didn't feel appropriate after losing.
No.
I didn't want to go in any of that type of direction. So I kind of just looked through past songs and went, we'll pick these two.
And I will say this. I heard it during the post game on Saturday while mowing my lawn. That's the song that the Horned Frogs play in the post game. So you definitely didn't want to
go
in that situation.
So yeah, don't look at any meaning in for mine. They're just two songs. They literally could have been almost any two songs as I looked today. But other than Tech losing 2 out of 3 this weekend, although Tech softball won 2 out of 3 against a receiving votes caliber team at home against Kansas. So that was really nice to see for them. You've got Ludwig taking second place at the Masters. Are you kidding me? Second place at the Masters? That's fantastic. I don't have anything other than that to add.
Lucas, someone not happy? I told you. I was just a round off, one day off. I mean, out of 365 and I was one day off, that's not bad. That's a pretty good pick. I told Lucas that he typically starts really fast in every single tournament he plays in. He started fast in the second round. He had 6 birdies in that second round. To go with a couple of bogeys, but if you were doing one of those prize pick over-under type bets and you needed him to have 3 or more birdies on Thursday, that didn't really work out for you. Could have done double or nothing. That's all I'm saying.
Lucas, I'm sorry you lost. I'm not sorry he played well.
Oh, it was fun to watch, and I know that it's so funny. You know, everybody loves a winner, right?
Oh, sure.
And it helps that it was a Masters. I know if this was just some random tournament, people wouldn't have, because he's won a tournament before.
We would talk about
sure. It, yes. But just to follow social media while it was going on and seeing how many Red Raider fans that didn't watch golf ever and even admitted as much, to watch them get excited about golf was cool, because it's been a while since people were excited about golf. And that guy was playing in the morning and got done well before, obviously speaking of Tiger Woods. It was fun to be excited about a golf tournament again. It had been a while.
Did you watch his press conference afterwards?
No, but I can probably go through it verbatim. The one thing that I've liked about Aberg from the get-go is whenever we talked to him before, like when he was we probably talked to him when he was a sophomore, maybe. Maybe we talked to him as a freshman, but his sophomore and then worked your way up. But he talked like that as a sophomore. He talked like a professional. And he had everything figured out, and he was very well spoken, and he knew what he was going to say. So I didn't listen to that. I will today before I go in and do my shows, because I've got to pick some sound from it. But nothing that he said in there would probably surprise me, because he's so well spoken and he's so thoughtful with everything that comes out of his mouth.
He got two surprising questions that he handled perfectly. I'm not being critical here in any way. But I'm more surprised at the question that was asked for how young he is in the golf world on the professional level. he got asked, you know, the way the reporter worded it, you know, we love grabbing on to, you know, young talent that's, you know, doing all this, and there's not going to be another major until the U.S. Open later, and that, you know, you just handled all of this so well. You know, what's it like, you know, having that kind of pressure, maybe even being the face of golf? And he's like, whoa, hang on a minute. Not the face of golf. So I was surprised that that was even like, don't get me wrong, he's going to be a story until the next major because of his performance, and he's going to be picked to win some tournaments because of his performance at the Masters. But he was already getting that kind of publicity after the Ryder Cup
pick. Yeah, well, yeah, but that would be different if he was a U.S. golfer and he helped the United States win the Ryder Cup.
Oh, absolutely. Now,
he helped the bad guys in this situation win the tournament. I think it's ramped up quite a bit now, though, because, like I mentioned, if this was just a random tournament, PGA tournament with nothing on the line, and he was doing what he did, our regular Texas Tech fans aren't watching it. They're listening to your SportsCenter updates. They're watching the local news and going, oh, Ludwig's still doing good. That's great.
That's great to hear.
Right? And he's still Aberg these days. but now that he's done it on this stage, on the Masters, that everybody's watching, like it or not, they're trying to find a new face to go along with Scottie Scheffler. Because Scottie Scheffler, and I will say this thing about Ludwig, and this is not a negative thing in any way, shape, or form, he's not like an exciting individual. He's pretty robotic with everything he does. He gets up, like when I think of some golfers like Sergio Garcia, he gets over a ball and he like waggles like crazy.
Oh, sure.
And it drives you insane. Aberg talks about it, gets over the ball, hits it, moves on to the next shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no hesitation. And like I said in his press conference, he's not a goofball or anything like that. He's not going to say anything outlandish, but he's really good at golf. And they need somebody that's really good at golf to kind of, you know, be the next generation of golfers. Because, like I said, you saw the guy in the twilight, the end of his career in the morning with Tiger Woods, you know, and everything that was going on there. And now you've got this guy, and I'm not trying to compare him to Tiger Woods because there's not another Tiger Woods, but he is kind of the young future. Because if you think about all the rest of the people on that list, I mean, they've been there for a while. Mm-hmm. Scottie Scheffler's won his second. I'm trying to work my way down, but like Xander Schauffele was on there. Max Homa's another future guy, but still, he's going to be one of the faces of golf. One, because he was the first PGA U player from college to make the PGA Tour.
Right.
They were, like you had mentioned, they were pushing him then. And now that he did this in the Masters, he's going to be one of the faces of golf.
And even some of the high-level pros, when you think of money winners from past seasons and guys that get number one rankings, they're saying good things about Ludwig with regards to this is a future number one player if he continues on the path that he's going.
I mean, he was ninth going into this weekend. He's only going up, finishing second. And
it's
getting
amazing how that happens.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly.
Yeah.
We will dive into the Texas Tech baseball series against TCU from over the weekend, and I don't want to preview Arkansas yet. I just don't. I'm nervous. A lot nervous. That's just how things are going to roll. Plus, anything you guys want to get to off the It's Learning Center chat line, get it in. 107thescore.com, the 100.7 The Score mobile app, or give us a call on Visual Edge IT Hotline at 806-771-0973. It is the end of the bench.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
So Texas Tech baseball this weekend. We probably need to actually talk some sports today. I asked Jamie this question earlier because I'm trying to figure out why this team is struggling so much with runners in scoring position. And it's not that it's just like one person or like a section of your lineup. It's across the lineup that you're having this issue. And it's not one guy's fault. It's not two or three guys' fault. It's not guys that are there every day or just filling in for a couple of days. It's all season long this has been just the bugaboo. And I asked him if he thought they were pressing and trying too hard in those situations, and that was what was leading to the failure. And he immediately said no, that isn't the issue. It's not like they're throwing back. It's just the way this team hits. And I don't disagree with anything he said. You know, that this team is very much a deadpool hitting team. Mm-hmm. You can absolutely put the shift on them and force yourself into bad situations because you're not using the whole field. That this team is still very much a, if you're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark, you're not going to be scoring runs on a consistent basis to what the type of offense that we'd be expecting. And that with all of those things that go that way, it leads to getting in. And a lot of people have said, why aren't you bunting more often? I'm not bunting with Gavin Cash.
Well,
that's just not, no, I'm not doing that.
Well, I'll say this, and I agree with the no bunting on most occasions, but from all of the stuff that you just said in this situation, and I'm just saying case-by-case basis here, yes, I know nobody likes to bunt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand that. But with the struggles you mentioned, 2-for-21 with runners in scoring position on Saturday and Sunday, when you lead off the ninth inning yesterday and Gavin Cash doubles, and then you bring in a pinch runner immediately.
Yeah.
And then Gage Harrelson walks and you have first and second and no outs. How many home runs did you hit at that point all weekend long? One, right?
Uno, yes.
Okay. I get it. It's Kevin Bazell. But you know what? You've got your hottest hitter for the weekend in Austin Green coming up next, mm-hmm. right? Kevin Bazell, you're laying down a bunt here.
Yes.
And we're getting these guys to second and third because
your hottest hitter
can hit a fly ball to the outfield.
And we got a tie game.
Which he did line out to the outfield. If that's a line out to the outfield, I think that was a line out to right. It got there pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's
enough to make a play at the plate.
Will Burns at third, and you know you're sending him
yeah.
with the potential to tie. In that situation, I think given everything that happened that weekend and you know that you're not going to hit a home run in most situations on the road, which we've seen all year long, now you played, I think 9, 10, 11, 12. I think you played 12 true road games, and taking away the anomaly game,
mm-hmm.
you now have 8 home runs in all 12 road games besides Abilene Christian.
Yep.
You lay down a bunt with Kevin Bazell. I know where he bats in the lineup. You got to lay down a bunt there, right?
Oh, you are preaching to the choir.
Well, but I'm saying in most situations, I understand, they don't bunt. That's just what they don't do is bunt the baseball.
I have begged for more small ball. And I understand all the metrics tell you it's dumb. And I understand that all of the ways that they recruit their team and the ballpark that you play in, it's dumb. I completely understand. I'm not saying it's got to be your only form of offense. I'm not saying it's got to be your primary form of offense. But this is now going on 4 years, 5 years, where we have seen if you're not knocking the cover off the ball, you're not winning games. And it's these one-run games that you've struggled in when you're not hitting the home run in a series that it's just the inability to move guys over and
yeah.
the inability to get something done when you've got runners on first and second with nobody out and you walk away with nothing.
That's why in that situation, I think you just have to bite your tongue and you have to lay down a bunt there, I thought, especially since you're like, you know what, we're bringing in the fast guy here. I get it, you know, a base hit to the outfield, they're probably sending him, but that base hit to the outfield never happened. If he's on third with one out, I like my chances of him scoring there.
Yeah, and then you got the tie game, and we know that Tim Tadlock is not afraid to try to steal home.
Yeah.
Against anybody, especially Big 12 play, especially if it's Texas. So it's,
yeah.
Now, it wasn't Texas this weekend, but the long and short of it is that's not who Tim Tadlock's offense is built for. That's not anything that's going to come up, and it's just something we're going to have to live with because that's the way it goes, as Walter Cronkite would say. And if you know who that is, you're old like me. It is the end of the bench at 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
You and yours, this is the End of the Bench. 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff McGuire in for Jeff Haxton, sitting alongside David Collier and Lucas White across the way. Slide and slide, pushing buttons for us on a Music Monday. We will get more of those songs coming in later. I just want to clear something up about the Yates Flooring Center chat line real quick.
Yeah, my bad.
No, it's fine. That's not what I'm clearing up.
Okay.
But it apparently is not Rick. It was Jerry Van Dyke. Guys, and I say this to all of you very lovingly. There are just some words, okay, that we have to. All right? It's not as intrusive as some others. But, like, we have to. I get it. That's not what you're saying. I know that's not what you're saying. David knows that's not what you're saying. Lucas knows that's not what you're saying. The chat line can't distinguish it. Okay? It's black or white with the chat line. There's lots of words you cannot say. And the list gets added to. Because every now and then new ones come up and we're like, hey, well done. That one's got to get added to the list. So why this person made it look like Hangman, I appreciate the effort. And I am not going to criticize you for playing it look like Hangman. I knew what you were saying and I appreciate it. There's just some things we got to do. Like there's FCC regulations. There's, you know, don't want to get fired regulations. There's a whole lot of things that go on. PG. That's where the chat line has to be. And we can't even pretend to cross on the chat line. All right. That being said, let's see what we've talked. Tech baseball. We've talked Ludwig. If you haven't been paying attention, we'll get back to all these topics coming up later. We've talked some Astros and Rangers as the Astros take two of three this weekend in Houston. Rangers sitting at 500. Astros looking right. Amazingly how fast that happens after a weekend. Got a couple injuries for the Rangers as they go forward. We've talked office. We've talked coach. We've talked Craig T. Nelson. We've talked music. Basically, it sounds like a Monday here on the end of the bench.
You know, we didn't talk. Did you watch any Saturday Night Live over the weekend?
0.0 seconds.
Oh, man. You're going to watch it during commercial break.
Saturday Night Live?
One
is very, very late for me.
Oh,
there's
one skit.
I'm terrible.
Yeah, it was probably one of the better skits that they've had on that. And I don't watch it at all.
Was it the Beavis and Butthead one?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen some clips. Some
you just need to watch it.
Screenshots of it.
You need to watch it in its entirety because everybody breaks.
I saw that. Like that was kind of the running thing I saw about it.
Yeah, you need to watch the entire thing. It's funny. I mean, there's nothing to it other than what you saw, but it's good. It's a good skit, which those are few and far between. Caitlin Clark even made an appearance on the Weekend Update, which was kind of funny. She had some jokes for Michael Shea. Shea? Is that how you say it? Yeah, Michael Shea.
It's very, very late for me on Saturday night.
Okay.
I'm that old guy. Like, I'm going to tell you what I did this weekend that to prove how old I am. I was in bed at my normal time on Saturday night. My normal time is 10 o'clock.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I was under the covers, lights were out, dog and I were both curled up, and I was sawing logs by 10:15. Like, I went to bed. I woke up at, like, 6 on Sunday morning.
And you got up at 6?
I got up at 6.
Oh, man.
Alarm still goes off at 4, but I'm a champion go-back-to-sleep guy on the weekend. Let me just tell you. Huge fan of going back to sleep with the alarm goes off on the weekend. But I don't turn my alarm off on the weekend because I don't want to go to bed Sunday night and keep waking myself up worried that I didn't turn it back on for Monday morning.
Yeah. Nope. That makes sense.
And since I can roll back over and go back to sleep, perfectly fine waking up at 4. And again, at 4:15, turn the alarm off and then, nope, don't need you today. Splat. And I'm gone. But did watch, for the very first time, Big Trouble in Little China. I have been going through, I've got a list of 80s movies that I missed somehow for whatever reason. And I've seen like bits and pieces of them throughout the course of life. And like I get most of the references, but I've never seen like the whole thing in one sitting. I may have seen part of a movie at one point and then like 2 years later seen another part of the movie and try to figure things out. But that's what I did at like 7:30 on Sunday morning.
Oh, wow. Sunday morning? Ooh.
Well, again, I was up at 6.
Yeah.
Because I went to bed.
That's soccer watching time. That's soccer watching time, my friend. Actually, it might not start that early.
I'm not anti-soccer. I'm just not soccer guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like that if you're going to be like carving out time in your day to watch soccer, you need to be soccer guy.
No, but that's the good part about it. It's early in the morning, so you drink some coffee, you just have it on as background noise, and it's not every once in a while there'll be some excitement and kind of wake you up a little bit. But man, you got to pay attention to a movie at 7:30 in the morning. Ooh.
Well, no, this is something I'm looking forward to because I'm trying to go through these movies. And Dallas Stevens chimes in. It's 2024. There are daily program alarms. Enjoy the weekend. My brain doesn't work that way. My phone does. Yes, the phone has the technology. I support you that the phone can do it. My brain cannot. This is a me problem, and this is the only solution I have come to it, so that I can go to sleep on Sunday and not wake up four different times in the night worried that I didn't turn it back on. That it's completely me, 100%. I will wear the blame on this without hesitation. Bobby Hot Dogs chimes in with he's got a distant cousin that's related to the Van Dykes.
Well, he's figured out how to job the system here.
And now I've got to add all of those to the thing. So I appreciate Bobby Hot Dogs for adding to our list of things that can't be said on the radio. Let's see here. What else have we missed off the 8th Learning Center chat line? The Netherlands do have a bunch of dikes throughout all of their fjords. Been much more impressive if you would have said fjord, by the way. How I Met Your Mother is the best from Connor on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. I appreciate How I Met Your Mother. The ending was very much blah. I will agree with that it was blah. But overall, I thought the show was good. And it was actually one of the very few shows when you catch. Do you have to be told there's a celebrity cameo that's like just quick? Not like they're guest starring for an episode, but they're like just kind of passing through. Do you catch those immediately or do those go by? Do you just miss those?
What do you mean?
Like if somebody was in a background of a show, they aren't actually in the show. They were just like a supporting character in this one episode because they happen to be on set and a big fan of the show and they just wanted to be a part of it but didn't need any lines or anything.
I would probably see them back there, I would imagine. I'm
oblivious to all of those.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother is the only one I've ever caught, and it was Conan O'Brien.
Well, that's hard.
It's hard to miss Conan O'Brien because he's like 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
But I never see them, so it was like the you remember the you're supposed to be counting the number of times a ball bounces. Did you notice the panda walking?
I'm the
guy that never notices the panda. I caught Conan O'Brien, so I felt very proud of myself.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff McGuire in for Jeff Haxton, who's traveling with Jamie Lint. And the Red Raider baseball team is there on their way from Fort Worth to Fayetteville, Arkansas, as they take on Arkansas tomorrow. Two-game series tomorrow and on Wednesday. Both games over on Double T 97.3. Sitting alongside David Collier and the one and only Lucas White across the way, sliding slides, pushing buttons, drinking coffee or tea? Or the thing?
Coffee.
Coffee. Oh, okay. Flavor? Creamer? See,
whatever
see
that? Is whatever's
back there. It's amazing how conversations get completely re-brought back up because, well, that's just what we do here on the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, 100.7 The Score mobile app. You can join on the 8th Learning Center chat line or on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. Lucas is the first voice you hear. That's why it's so deep and so ready to go just for you. This weekend, not a great weekend for Red Raider baseball. Win Friday, very nice Friday win. Saturday, not a great loss. Had your chances in it, had several chances in it, but were unable to capitalize on those chances. And then Sunday was more of what we've seen from this baseball team all season long of not being able to capitalize on those situations and not being able to hit with runners in scoring position. And your starting pitching was okay yesterday, and not good. I wouldn't call it good. 3 1/3, giving up 3 runs, not good. But what you can kind of say is that you gave up the 3 1/1 and didn't give up. I mean, you were charged with the 4th one, but it's not a just the stat line doesn't tell the whole story, but it's also a pretty big reason why you didn't win that game.
Yes, and it wasn't the bullpen.
No, you know this was starting.
Yeah, you know how many runs a bullpen game up?
Goose egg.
A goose egg in 10 innings, I think. 10 or 11, one of the two.
Yeah.
Might have been 10. Yeah, I mean, you score more runs than TCU over the weekend. Your bullpen doesn't give up a single run. You probably should at least get one more win out of that weekend. That's the frustrating part about it, and we mentioned it in the first hour. You're just not able to get a big hit in the right situations. I mean, two for 21 with the runners in scoring position on Saturday
weekend.
And Sunday?
Yeah.
That's a hit here or there, and you're talking about a series win. It was that, I mean, and we discussed the final inning of the series quite a bit, I think, in the second hour, and just not being able to move runners over and just manufacture a run, which you were able to do early in that game. But if you score more runs and your bullpen doesn't give up a single run over the weekend, if I tell you that on Friday, you're going to say a series win.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I'd also say, with those stats in mind, that even if you had struggled with your starting rotation, that your bullpen still gave up nothing. Like that should have been an easy. And all we have seen from this Red Raider baseball team, though, is that nothing comes easy.
I will say this. I think you know, yesterday was four runs isn't really that much. I mean, if you think about it.
It's not.
On a Sunday,
your
starter, you give up four runs on a Sunday, you probably feel like you're going to win that ball game. Mac Huer, you know, I need to go back and look at it, but at one point this season in his starts, the majority of his runs came off of home runs, and that obviously bit him on Sunday as well, you know?
Like, if I were to tell you the Tech's pitching staff would give up three runs on Sunday, two on Saturday, and one on Sunday, yeah, as the staff, you would sit there and go, that's a sweep.
Yeah.
That's a sweep. Maybe you lose Friday 2-1. Like Saturday 2-1. You could absolutely see that. And maybe you sit there on a Friday, because we know a lot of teams, Tim Tadlock doesn't do this, but a lot of teams throw their best guy on Friday. Tim Tadlock puts his best guy on Saturday, because Saturday is always important, whether you're trying to avoid a sweep or where you're trying to win a series.
Yeah.
And it gives your chance to win. If you use bullpen guys on Friday, they get then their Saturday off because your best guy is going Saturday, so they can then pitch again on Sunday. Like, both sides have merit for how you want to run it. But six total runs on the weekend for your pitching staff, that's pretty decent pitching. And you see the amount of runs that they put up on the weekend, you're like, how did you lose two out of
eight
three?
Total runs, right?
Eight. I'm sorry. Yeah.
1-4, yeah. But still.
You got seven on Friday night. You then come back, get 2-3. It's struggling offensively that is killing this team at times. And then it's also what we saw as well, your starting pitching, because your bullpen has been fantastic. I kind of feel like it's whack-a-mole for this Red Raider baseball team. You get one thing fixed today, and then another mole pops up, and it's now all of a sudden your starting pitching can't work. So you take care of the starting pitching, and all of a sudden your offense can't hit. So you hit the starting pitching, and now you can't play defense. Well, then you get your defense cleaned up, which I felt like you did play good defense all weekend. There was a couple of plays here and there. You weren't error-free by any extent. But it wasn't detrimental.
Yeah.
It wasn't not getting a double play turned. It was one play. I, like you, like Jamie, like everybody else, like Tim Tadlock and the entire team, it's just frustrating because we see the talent this team has. And we have the expectations for this team that we have around here. And you're still on your way to doing a lot of the things that you're used to doing. You are not near a situation where you're not going to make the postseason. That's not up for grabs right now.
Yeah.
This team is going to the postseason. Your RPI has jumped up considerably over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And it will continue to go up after this week with two games against Arkansas and three games against West Virginia. Again, not a concern that you won't make the postseason. But it's so different from what we've expected to see with Tim Tadlock's crew that it's frustrating.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of similar to an extent like last year. I mean, different frustrations. The bullpen was certainly a frustration last year with the team and not being able to throw strikes and locate any pitches. But, yeah, it's just little things here and there. And maybe you mentioned it, the team's still worthy of being in the postseason. They're still going to get in the postseason. It's just it's not what we've been accustomed to and what we're used to and not doing. I mean, there's a you gotta remember a lot of the people that have gotten this team to the points where they're one of them's in AAA playing baseball right now. One of them just won a World Series. You've got a handful of starting pitchers that have had time in the majors. You know, I mean,
and still will have more time in the majors, as yes, the case may be, depending on when they get healthy from respective injuries.
Now we just got to hope other people are getting healthy, like Damian Bravo, who left in Sunday's game.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Get those questions in now on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. All questions will be answered. The answer could be no. On Ask the Bench Warmers here, Jeff McGuire filling in for Jeff Haxson, sitting alongside David Collier and Lucas White across the way. Did you guys ever decide on drinks for the Derby? I think it's still a work in progress at this point. I did try to workshop one this weekend. It didn't go well.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not bringing it up now. But it did not go well. So my income tax return that I got back in February, because I did my taxes early to get my change back. I made a trip to the store, and I kind of did a mini stock of a bar.
Okay.
Like, I picked up a bottle of
a mini bar, if you will.
No, because these were full bottles. I bought a nice bottle of vodka. I got a bottle of gin. I got a bottle of rum. There's almost always whiskey in my house. That's my preferred drink. In fact, right now there's currently three different bottles of whiskey in my house, but that's a different story for a different day. And the thought process was that I would be able to just replace the one bottle when I needed to now, as opposed to just drinking one drink. I have some options when I'm making cocktails at home. It did not go well, the workshopping this weekend. I didn't have all the ingredients I wanted to workshop with, so that didn't help. I might try to get some of those this week and continue working on stuff. But
I workshopped during my walk of the dog.
Oh, nice.
On Friday, and I texted.
So you did a little hair of the dog.
Yes, I did a little hair of the dog. To Clint and Choice during their show. So this is the list that I came up with. On Friday, I came up with the Lent Julep.
Yes.
So obviously, somebody else in the building has a name that rhymes with Lent. So the smaller version would be the Lent Julep. If you want a tall boy version of it, you would get the Clint Julep.
The Clint Julep.
The Clint Julep. So that covers a couple of different shows there. This show, couldn't think of anything in particular, but I went with the Manhaxton instead of the Manhattan.
Okay.
So we've got the Manhaxton. For Tech Talk, I know that Clint obviously has...
Gus on the
Gussie Naval or whatever. If they don't want to go with that, then to keep with the tech theme, you've got the gin and tectonic. So the gin and tectonic, and it is served on a plate tectonic. You know,
okay,
so make it difficult for you. You're drinking your gin and tectonic off of a saucer, and
it's in a coffee cup that's got the saucer permanently.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
So when you pick it up, you're picking up the saucer no matter what.
Yes, and the last one, this is my favorite one, and I think that Lucas is 100% on board with this one. It's called the Chiliton.
The Chiliton.
And it is an End of the Bench themed for the Chili Dog song, but with this one, there's no chili necessarily involved. There's not any cheese or anything like that. But it's a Chilton, and you drink it through a hot dog straw, which has been done before by Haxson.
On this program, yes.
So we're the Chiliton.
The Chiliton.
Yeah.
By the way, we're just used for a hot dog as a straw.
Yes.
Like, that's just weird.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the list that I've come up with in my head. I don't know if it's been approved in any way, shape, or form by Choice or Clint.
We are not in charge. Yeah. We can only offer options.
I know Clint will like one of them, though, because he's involved with it.
Oh, sure. Guys, what's the worst movie you've ever watched?
I've only walked out of one movie in a movie theater, and it was Johnny Mnemonic with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, wow.
And I don't even know what it's about, but I don't know if that's the worst movie I've ever seen, but...
It's the only one you've ever walked out of.
Oh, there we go. Shelley with the whiskey sour sneed didn't make the cut. I'm not in charge of any cuts.
Whiskey sour sneed.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
I just don't want to give Sneed his own drink because then he's just going to be even more braggadocious.
Listen, man, I'm not telling Sneed not to be braggadocious. I'm really not. Because here's the thing. It's not bragging if it's fact.
I will say this. He did text in earlier when we were having our discussion about the UFL line, and he did say that there is a chain gang. They're just not...
On camera,
yeah. So,
Marquis says the worst movie he ever watched was Sharknado.
See, there's probably the other ones because I enjoyed Sharknado. The rest of them, when it just got absolutely goofy,
I loved them all for everything that they were, and everything that they knew they were. Like that's the catch on a bad B movie. They have to know they're making a bad B movie to really lean into it, and I feel like they did on every single one of them. Lucas, what's the worst movie you've ever watched?
Some people might like it. I was just not a fan of it. It was Mad Max Fury Road back in 2015. That's the only movie that I can personally recall that I walked out of the movie theater of. I didn't pay for the movie, but I just still wasn't a fan of it. So Mad Max just kind of wasn't my cup of tea. I know the older ones are more popular, but it just wasn't that one.
By definition, the worst movie I've ever watched is The Room, and it is god-awful, but it's so bad that it's like a cult classic, and it is god-awful bad. That's not my least favorite movie of all time, though, and that it's not Backdraft, it's Backtrack is what it's called, I believe. It's got like three different names because it was so bad they kept trying to generate some interest on it. I can't even, like, the plot of this movie is a girl sees a murder by a mob hit. She then gets a hitman after her who falls in love with her and then plays cheesy 80s saxophone for her. That is the plot of this movie. It is absolutely horrendous. And oh my God, it's bad. Like, I had to watch this movie in sections. Why did I finish this movie? My friends and I were doing a round of who can recommend the worst movie. I did not win, but the rule was we had to finish the movie.
Oh, God.
That was a lot of torture. Human Centipede from Marquis.
I've never seen it, but I don't want to.
Frailty with McConaughey, and I asked for my ticket money refunded. Benchwarmers, can you name another video like the one can you make another video like the one putting one to do free throws? I'm sure that will happen for basketball season.
We could do that for the NBA finals or something like that because it would be a while before basketball season.
I also imagine that there could be a could you throw a ball from home to second, figure at a distance like in the parking lot, and then knock somebody's windshield out? That could be fun to see. As long as it's not mine.
Whose car are we using?
This is not mine.
One of Sneed's 20 cars.
Does Aberg win another major this year?
Another? Or win a major this year? He hasn't won one yet. You read it.
I added another. That's my fault. That's not the texture's fault. That's my fault. Does he win a major this year? I'm not going to say no. I'm also not going to say yes for how hard it is.
He's certainly going to be one of the favorites in the rest of them. Let's go with the Open Championship. Why not? He's good with the win. You know what's funny?
Just don't take round one birdies.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. You watch the next one. You watch this next round. I had two former coworkers you know, this is like the proud dad moment, kind of like in at the end of The Office, you know, you watch your kids grow up and go cover the Masters. A guy that used to work for me asked Ludwig on Saturday, did playing in all that wind in Lubbock help you out today? And he laughed. He laughed about it, which was
good deal.
And there's plenty of wind most of the time in an Open Championship, so I'll give him his best chance to win in the Open Championship.
This person walked out of Buffy the Vampire Slayer 30 years ago.
Whoa, that's a good movie.
This is Lindell Jeff. This is not me. Got the best nap of all time and still caught the ending of Dancing with Wolves. That's a true statement.
Yes.
That movie is long enough you can take a significant nap and still catch it.
If I had to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the rest of my life or Dances with Wolves, I would rather you kill me than watch Dances with Wolves.
It's not a bad movie to watch every now and then. And when I mean every now and then, like years go in between watching, because it's a decent enough movie, but it is definitely a nappable movie, 100%.
Yeah. I don't need much help to fall asleep, and that one would put me to sleep immediately. Dances with Wolves. It sounds like a movie Jamie Lent likes.
Oh, it is. It's one of his favorites.
Of course.
There's a lot of that movie that's really good, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's also a great movie to nap to. There's no argument to that. That'll do it for us. We're on the way out. The guys from The Bottom Line are coming in next. What they're going to talk about, probably the same stuff we talked about. It's how it works. So, you know, their warm-up act is done. Now you get to listen to closers because, you know, I don't know. It's the end of the bench. 100.7 The Score.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.